My dear parishioners,
whom does the church regard as the greater saint? Saint John the Baptist or Saint John the Apostle? We hear over and over in these weeks, in preparation for Christmas, for the coming of our Lord, of John the Baptist and how incredible he was, the man chosen from all eternity. But then you think of John the Apostle, the one whom our Lord himself gave the name the Beloved, the one to whom he entrusted his own mom as he's hanging upon the cross, the first to believe in the resurrection of all the apostles. Whom does the church hold as the greater saint? I asked this of our school children the other day, and with great delight I saw a number of hands go up, and they knew John the Baptist. And then I said, oh gosh, that's wonderful. Why? Why does the church hold him in a higher place even than John the Apostle? Then all the hands went down except for one. And I thought, gosh, if this little kid knows this, this is amazing. And I called him and he said, because John the Baptist had his head cut off? And I said, well, that might be part of it, but that's not the answer I was looking for. But they knew. So I went on. I said, how about St. Peter? St. Peter, the first pope, the one entrusted with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, does he have a higher place in heaven than John the Baptist? And they knew the answer was no. And then I said, how about Joseph, the husband of Mary, the foster father, the one to raise our Lord Jesus Christ? And even that they knew. Our Lord Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist, there is no one born among women who is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Why does one saint have a higher place in heaven than another? What determines greatness in heaven? Our Lord said, the least shall be the greatest. John the Baptist made himself less than all those others. He was the most selfless. You remember on one occasion when John the Apostle comes with his brother James, and he even brings his mom, right? He's a smart man. Brings his mom with him and they say, we want to sit, Lord, at your right and at your left hand in heaven. Even this self-seeking in John the Apostle. Or when Peter comes to our Lord and says, Lord, we've given up everything for you. What is in it for us? What are we going to get out of this? This self-centeredness. And even Joseph, when he finds out that Our Lady is pregnant, what does he do? He knows he's so humble that he's able to admit he is unworthy of this. And so he's going to divorce Our Lady quietly. But even in his humility, he is overly focused on his unworthiness and is going to fail to fulfill the word of God. Everything we read of John the Baptist, every word that ever came out of his mouth, was to shift the focus from himself onto our Lord. What does he say today? I am not worthy to untie the strap, the thong of his sandals. When people come to ask him, they think he might be the Christ. And so the scribes and the Pharisees come and they say, who are you? What's the first thing he says? I am not the Christ. In fact, he points out who the Christ is when he says, behold the Lamb of God. And in doing so, he loses all his disciples. But there's a great mystery when our Lord says, among those born of women, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. He goes on to say, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. My brothers and sisters, who is the least in the kingdom of heaven? Who has a higher place in heaven even than John the Baptist, do we believe as Catholics? Our Lord. Mara, do you know? Mara, good, all right. Our Lord and Our Lady. Right, our Lord, whom Paul says became the least of all, the servant of all, and our Blessed Mother Mary. When the Archangel Gabriel came down from heaven and says, hail, full of grace, what was Our Lady's response? It says she was troubled by this. She wondered what the words of the angel meant. Why was Our Lady troubled by that greeting? Because she never looked at herself. She did not know that she was full of grace. the most selfless human being who ever lived. And you remember when our Lord in the burning bush appears to Moses, and he asked Moses to set his people free. What was the response of Moses? "Lord, I'm not a very gifted speaker. You should probably find somebody else." Or when our Lord comes to the prophet Jeremiah and wants him to prophesy to his people, what does Jeremiah say? "Lord, I'm too young. I can't do that." But when Our Lady is asked to fulfill the greatest mission ever given to anyone, to bear the eternal Son of God, what does she say? There is no focusing in on herself. She simply says, "Be it done unto me according to your word. If you ask something of me, I know that you will give me the grace to fulfill it. Not because of my own merits, but because of your grace." My brothers and sisters, what is one of the greatest ways to prepare for Christmas in this season of Advent? When the people came to John the Baptist and said, "What should we do?" What did he tell them? Essentially, he said, "Become more selfless. If you have two cloaks and see that there is someone without one, give one cloak away. The same with your food. Learn to die ever more to yourself, that you might make room for our Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to close with this, something that has helped me tremendously in the last few weeks. A lady called me a few weeks ago and she said, "Father, would you have a little time to meet? There's something that I wanted to run by you." And I said, "Sure, you know, no problem." This woman's a wife and a mother. And I sit down with her and she says, "You know, Father, you know a little bit about my past. I grew up Catholic, but I was away from the church for a period of time. Or even when I go to church, I wasn't really living the faith. In these last few years, I've really felt called to deepen my spiritual life. I'm spending more and more time in prayer. I started going to daily mass. I want to live for God. The other day I was in adoration, and for the first time ever," she said, I've never experienced this before, "I heard our Lord speak to me. I didn't hear his voice from without audibly, but I heard his voice in my heart. And I was so surprised, and he spoke to me, and I responded, and we had this dialogue for nearly an hour." And I asked her a few questions trying to verify if it may have been authentic. Was it really our Lord speaking to her? And I told her that I did not see a reason to doubt that. And then she said, "Father, there were a few things he wanted me to say to you." And then I got a little scared, right? Oh my gosh, right? What did I do? And she shared with me a few things, but the one that I wanted to share today, she said, "Our Lord wanted me to tell you that you are not to allow even the smallest suffering in your life to be wasted. That our Lord does not want the tiniest trial to pass you by without being offered up to him." Two nights after that, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a fever, this headache, I was sweating, feeling miserable. And those words came back to me. "Our Lord does not want even the tiniest suffering in your life to be wasted." And I immediately said, "Okay, Lord, this suffering, this is yours. Do with it whatever you desire. If it might help to save a soul, so be it." And I was overcome with this incredible joy. Right, as I'm suffering from this headache and fever, and for the last 3 weeks, that phrase comes back to me again and again with every little suffering. The times where it's most difficult to be selfless is when we're tired, when we're sick, when we're hungry, when there's some other trial. And yet our Lord does not allow anything in our lives without a reason. In this season of Advent, let us ask Him for the grace to become ever more selfless, that we might make greater room in our hearts for Him.